Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtime. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LastWolfOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, good evening, sports fans, and welcome to Let's Talk CFL podcast, episode number 562. I'm your host, Christopher Jones, coming to you from Merritt, British Columbia. Yes, I'm a Lions fan. I'm a fan of the CFL. I like all the teams. Well, maybe not Saskatchewan, but hey, who does if you don't live there? Okay, whatever. What's going on here? I've got the mics open on the other two boys here, and we got a special treat tonight. Charles is AWOL. Well, he's not really AWOL because he's not absent without leave. He's actually he's in Toronto for work, so we said, okay, you don't have to take the night. You can take the night off. You don't have to be on the podcast. But he did create a great agenda for us, so really happy about that. It's mostly all about free agency signings and stuff like this. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about it. We're going to do what we can. So today on the show, we've got William. William, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm here. I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Awesome.
It's not cold,
awesome.
It's not cold in Calgary. It's not cold in Calgary, so I'm happy.
Well, so. it's in the minuses here, so that's not bad, but nothing's looking good long term, that's for sure. So we have a special guest tonight, and we'll see what happens on the long term. We've been trying to coerce this guy out of the podcast for a while, or at least I've been talking about it, and William's been laughing at me hysterically. Yeah, yeah. No, you haven't been doing anything about it. You just laugh at me. We got William's big brother, Rick, here, Rick McDonald. He lives in Abbotsford, British Columbia, but he's a diehard Bomber fan. He may have left the place, but he never gave up on his team. Not like Will. Will's no longer a Bomber fan. He's now a Stampeder fan living in Calgary. But anyhow, we got Rick on the show. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. I may regret this, but we'll see.
You know what? It's okay. You do what you got to do, and you speak when you need to or you want to, and we'll go from there. You just got to learn to think really fast because things happen really quickly on here. And that seems to be the stumbling block for a lot of people. They have to think about what they want to say, and you can't. Because otherwise there's dead air. So we'll see what we do, what's going on. Yeah. But we've been going back and forth for quite a few years now, and it's good to have Rick on the show. Okay, so we're going to get right into our agenda today because it's the biggest story of the week, that's for sure. Brady Oliveira signs a 2-year extension with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Now, I put this post up there, and Justin Dunk wrote an article on it, and it was just like blowing smoke up his ass. And it was just like, oh, man, he took a hometown discount, and he just loves the town, and he took way less money to stay in Winnipeg. And I said, I call bullshit on it because it really is bullshit. If he did that, he would have accepted the offer that they gave him. And everybody's coming back saying it's not about the money. He's loyal to the team and this, that, everything else. And again, that's bullshit because if the NFL came knocking, he'd be gone. If Winnipeg didn't counteroffer what the BC Lions or the Hamilton Tiger Cats had offered, then he'd be playing in Hamilton because Hamilton had the best offer. And they have a not bad never mind. I'm not going to even go there. I can't even remember the word I wanted. But here's the deal. This is why he picked Winnipeg. We all know why he picked Winnipeg. He loves it there. He lives there. That's his off-season home. His girlfriend lives there. He's part of the community. He does good things. He does charity work. He does all sorts of things. He always wanted to stay in Winnipeg. It's not loyalty to the team. That's his home. That's where he lives. That's where he lived before he came to the Bombers. That's where he's going to live after he leaves the Bombers. It's his home. So playing it in your hometown, what does that do? It saves you money because you don't have to have an apartment in Vancouver or Hamilton or Toronto or wherever else you're going to live because you're just not going to give up your house in Winnipeg for 6 months out of the year in Vancouver. No, you're going to go stay over there. So there's a lot of additional costs that you have to personally put out when you leave your home. It's different if you live in Edmonton and you're currently in Winnipeg, playing at Winnipeg, and BC gives you a better offer. It's easy to jump from Winnipeg to BC. But when you live in Winnipeg and Winnipeg's your home and that's the team you're playing for, it's got to be a pretty big pry bar to get you out of that town. Okay? So if Winnipeg Blue Bombers had offered them $180,000, and the Vancouver Lions or BC Lions came up with 260, Hamilton came up with 275 in the first year, that's almost $100,000 difference. That's almost 30%. You're going to jump ship real quick from Edmonton or from Winnipeg and go to Hamilton for that kind of money. You'd be a fool not to. Okay? So Hamilton came out with that offer of 275, takes it back to Kyle Walters. Kyle Walters says, oh, okay, I'll give you 240. Brady Oliveira says, done, sign here, boom, boom, and it's done, and he's off there. So, yeah, he took a hometown discount, but in the end, he's actually putting more money in his pocket because you can't live in Hamilton for $35,000 for 6 months, not with needing an apartment, needing, you know, two sets of dishes, two, you know, everything else. That's a lot of money. Okay, you save that money by staying in Winnipeg. You go home and sleep in your own bed with your girlfriend every night. It's not a bad gig. So he didn't do it because of loyalty to Winnipeg. He didn't do it because of loyalty to the team. He did it because it economically made sense. Okay, it was about the money, 100%. Otherwise, he would have taken the $180,000 and said, hey, thanks very much. I appreciate being in the city. But he had to play Kyle Walters against the other offers from the other teams. And I don't blame him. Good negotiations. Everything worked out well. I was under no illusion that he was going to leave Winnipeg. I thought for sure he was going to sign with Winnipeg. Would he take a hometown discount? Of course he would, because it makes sense to. Economically, he's putting more money in his pocket right now by staying in Winnipeg at 240 than going to Hamilton at 275 or Vancouver at 260. It's definitely a better deal for him, okay? No question about it. I'm going to send it over to William. What do you got to say on this one, buddy?
Well, you know what? I do agree with you because – and I've talked to my buddy Todd here, whose son plays for the Stampeders, and the Stampeders look like they're not going to sign him again. So he's got to make a decision to see if somebody else in the CFL will sign him. And if he does that, he has to – keep two residences because he's going to move to wherever he's playing and he still wants to keep his home in Calgary. So it does cost more money. I think Brady Oliveira is smart to stay in Winnipeg because not only can he play for his hometown and be a superhero, but he'll also have many, many, many opportunities because he's a hometown boy that he's not going to get in Vancouver or Hamilton. And
100%.
It's going to cost him, and I don't know this, you guys know this better than I do, it's going to cost him a hell of a lot more money to live in Vancouver than it is in Winnipeg, let's face it. So,
oh, true story.
And it worked out really well for him because, like I've said before, I don't think you should pay any running back in the CFL more than $150,000 a season. So he got $200,000+. Because of negotiation and other teams. So he's probably making more money than he should be making, and he's happy. So, hey, I mean, $250,000 goes a long way in Winnipeg.
Oh, I don't know that. I mean, you'd have to pay me to live in that town.
Well, and me and Rick are perfect examples of I don't know why anybody would want to stay in Winnipeg, but that's just me. Okay, I'm not saying the city's bad, but I didn't want to stay there.
You're not saying it's great.
And obviously my brother didn't want to stay there either. So go ahead.
Rick, hometown boy, tell us what's going on. Do you agree with this or do you have some other concept as to why this all came down? We didn't lose Rick. He's still here. Did he mute his mic?
Ricky, where are you? Okay.
I scared him away already. I guess it's not possible.
I don't know, man.
I don't think I said anything bad.
I don't know. Did he fall asleep? Did he fall asleep? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Same...
It says he's still connected and his mic is active, unless he turned it off at his end.
Okay, let's see.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Rick. Oh,
there you are.
Now we can hear you.
You got me? Yeah. No, I could hear you guys. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
Anyway.
Block Talk does some weird shit, okay?
Yeah,
sometimes it does.
I agree with all the points you guys made. It does make fiscal sense, even if it's less money. But there's also another thing that a smart guy would consider is he the same running back on another team? Different quarterback, different scheme, different.
He's got a problem with his mic.
Yes, he does.
Because you went all we got all garbly there, Rick, and then all of a sudden you just vectored off into the Twilight Zone.
You disappeared again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
I can. You're allowed technical issues on your first show.
Yep. Only the first show, though.
Well, after that, we can harass you.
Yeah. Are you talking or you're not talking?
Do you have me now?
Yep.
Yeah, we have you here. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, continue with your point. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, you were telling us that there was something that we hadn't thought about. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Or you hadn't mentioned. Well, you know, another thing that would come into my mind if I was Brady is am I going to be as successful with a different old coordinator, a different old line, a different quarterback? You know, is he the same running back when he drops into another team? I don't think he is.
No, and you're correct on that. I mean, it's the same thing as why I know Bo Levi Mitchell stayed in Calgary, is because he wouldn't have been as successful anywhere else. Because Calgary had a system, they had an O-line, they had an offensive coordinator, they had a quarterback coach. I mean, the entire offense was designed around him because of that. And if he went to Toronto, they actually offered him more money way back when, he stayed in Calgary for less money. Why? Because of those reasons. And now is the big question here is Brady going to be as effective this year now that the O-line isn't the same? Stanley Bryant's older. Jamarcus Hardrick is gone. And who was the other guy that retired?
Somebody retired, too. He must have been a guard. So, well, yeah, but, I mean, you can plug those holes, I think. But
you can, but
again,
it's not the same.
No, but once again, I tend to wonder, you know, also this year, will defenses be setting up for him, and will he have as an effective year? We'll see. Who knows?
Well, if defenses weren't setting up for him last year, they were incompetent. I don't think the quality of football last season, straight across the board on all teams except for maybe two or three, was any good. It was probably the worst season of football I've seen in 50 years. Most pathetic, at least first half of the season. So are all these teams going to pick up their socks and do a little bit better? And is that going to shut him down a little bit? Or at least calm him down, cool him down a little? Something like that, I don't know. got anything further to say, Rick?
Yeah, it could. And, well, you know what, as a Bomber fan, I wasn't worried even if he did leave because, you know, all the stink everybody made over, oh, we can't Andrew Harris. Andrew who? What the fuck did that do for the team losing him? No big deal. Then Brady steps up. There's another guy waiting in the wings that will make the offense run. That's just the way it is. That's the football coach in me.
Well, I mean, that's Williams'
everybody,
point.
Everybody's replaceable.
Well, and right. And bottom line.
So why are you paying him so much?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what I wonder with this money. I didn't hear the numbers on what they're paying Dalton.
I haven't heard Dalton's either.
They haven't said that, but it's only a one-year contract, so I bet you it's not that much. We'll see. Who knows?
Well, that may or may not. So one, hang on, William. It's $230,000 for Dalton Schoen.
Oh, is it really?
Okay.
That's about $80,000. $80,000 too much.
He's cashing in big time.
Yeah.
He's cashing in big time.
You know what? Bottom line, okay, they're bringing the same players back and they're paying them more money. Here's a news scoop. They didn't win the Grey Cup last year.
Or the year before.
No.
So they do need some changes. Okay, and they have changes. So we'll see. We'll see. Right?
Well, I mean, their number one receiver is coming back. Their number one running back is coming back. Their number one quarterback is coming back. Their number one tackle is coming back.
Yes.
Have changed that much. Not on the offense.
Right. Well, they're still going to lose some guys, I think. And they've already lost Hardrick. They also lost the other offensive lineman. I think Rashid Bailey is a free agent, too. Nobody's talking about signing him. So who knows? We'll see. And, of course, they have changed somewhat because now they have Chris, I'm a quarterback running back, Strebler back, okay? So,
yeah, we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So, I mean, this was a good signing for Winnipeg. No question about it.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
Bringing
Brady
Oliveira back,
it's
huge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fans love it.
Bringing him back for $240,000 is, I'm sorry, it's stupid.
Agreed.
I mean, you can get a running back, a good running back out of America right now, no problems. First year, you bring him in on a rookie contract at $55,000 a year. You could probably get an ex-NFLer in for $100,000, $120,000. I mean, paying him $240,000 and – the worst thing is that, you know, people are paying him extra because he's a Canadian. And it just boggles the mind why that happens. You've got a starting Canadian. And the only reason why he has that much value in Winnipeg isn't Brady Oliveira. It's Johnny Augustine. If they didn't have Augustine backing up their Canadian starter, then he wouldn't have that much value, wouldn't have as much value. Because if he goes down, you're fucking with your roster to get your 7 starting Canadians. Having a Canadian backup is amazing. Doesn't happen. And that's why Andrew Harris had backed up Brady Oliveira. And, you know, I mean, Kyle Walters has done a really good job of finding high-end Canadian running backs to keep this going for 4 or 5 years. 5 years, counting the year that's missing in the middle, right? It's been that long. And it takes a while to do that.
And he took a page right out of the Calgary Stampeders playbook in doing the Canadian thing. So.
Yeah.
So.
No, at BC, too, we had Andrew Harris, right? That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Wouldn't life be simpler if we just got rid of the Canadian rule?
Oh,
wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, 100% well. You are. But it's ridiculous how many people will argue with you on that one.
And I have yet
to hear a valid argument. In fact, we had Paul McCallum on the show here on our podcast one night, and we went at it over the ratio, and he absolutely is adamant about it. It's the best thing that's for the CFL. It's all about the CFL. And I'm going, how? It's the worst thing for it right now. It's hurting us.
You know what this is going back a long way, but when I think a big change happened in the CFL was free agency. Because when I was a kid growing up in Winnipeg, the Bombers were the Bombers year after year, same players. You got to build a relationship with them and got an identity from them. They didn't move around from team to team. They stayed put with their team. And that made for stronger fan connection.
Oh, 100% it did.
I mean, it didn't do anything to their pocketbook, and I get it, but
because there was no salary cap back then either. So,
yep,
that's the main reason. So,
I mean, you're actually older than I am, aren't you, Rick? I'm not the oldest one on the show anymore.
Christopher, he's older than both of us. So.
Well, I'm older than you, or at least you like to point that out all the time, even though we're the same age.
Hey, Rick. Rick, you're what? You're 72 now, right?
I'm 63.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Anyways.
I'm just
he's a bit of an asshole when it comes to things like this, Rick. Yeah.
Oh, he's more than a kid.
So when we were young, I don't know about you, but when I was young, I was a really big hockey fan. Okay? We followed the NHL at that point in time. Back then, the Boston Bruins acquired the rights to Bobby Orr when he was 12 years old. And they pushed him through the right way of bringing him up to the NHL through which team, all the teams all the way along. He was there. He had support. He had training. He had everything else that goes along with it going up the thing. It was the same thing with Montreal. If you were French-Canadian and you were good at hockey, you were going to play for the Montreal Canadiens. It was inevitable. They owned that market. Right? It was just one of those things. And then the draft, they brought the draft in so to make it fair for everybody. And then they brought in free agency. And free agency is the number one thing that has destroyed this league, every league, because there's no consistency in the teams. Now, it's got the players higher salaries that we would never have seen before. But at what cost? We've lost the engagement of the fans. And that's very important. And how are we going to get it back? Now, there was a woman the other day that Ottawa Red Black fan who put up a post on the Our Nation group that said that they released Nate Bahar. And she said, that's it. I'm done with this team. After releasing him, I'm done with them. And I put up a post against that, and I said, look, every player on that team is gone in 5 to 10 years. Probably the coaches and managers and possibly even the owner. The only consistent thing in football, in any team sport, is the fan. We're the only ones that stick by the team, good, bad, ugly, decade in, decade out. It's been 52 years that I've been a fan of the BC Lions now. How much change has the BC Lions had in that time period? They used to be a community-owned team. Then they went into all sorts of things with Murray Pezum and Bill Comrie and Nelson Scalpania. I mean, those were horror years. Okay? But we stuck by the team. We were the fans. We were the ones that said, I don't give a shit who plays on the field. I don't care what player is on the field. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Okay? Do I make comments if they do something stupid? Yes. They brought in Bo Levi Mitchell right now as a quarterback. I would say that that's fucking stupid. Okay? Hamilton did it. I don't know why the Ticats fans don't see it stupid. They think it's a great thing. But anyhow, it doesn't matter who plays for my team. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, the running back, O-line, D-line. I'm going to love my team no matter what, because that's what it means to be a fan. How can you just say, oh, well, they're releasing my favorite player. I'm not going to support the team anymore.
Yeah. Well,
he's a Canadian.
Not a real fan.
It's ridiculous. It blows my mind how people – and the fact that the Edmonton team has collapsed the way that it has boggles the mind. Now, I understand that a lot of people are pissed off about the name change, but it's only the name of a team. Who cares, right?
Yeah,
I think it's a stupid – get over it. But I it should never have happened. It was ridiculous. They went woke, and they're paying a price for it. 100% they're paying a price for it, just like Disney is, just like Bud Light is, right? It costs you money when you do travel this road. And but the fans shouldn't walk away like that. And I understand their team sucks, or has for a while, but I don't know. It blows my mind. You're either a fan or you're not.
Agreed.
I mean, if nothing else, I can respect the fans in Saskatchewan. Because 8 years out of 10, their team is shit. And they do have the most loyal fans out there. No doubt about it. I mean, I know people who 60% of their wardrobe is green.
Yeah, cheeseheads of Canada.
I honestly can tell you that I don't have a piece of clothing that's green. It's an ugly color. But anyhow, so let's move on. We're sticking with Winnipeg right now. All-star receiver Dalton Schoen re-signs with the Bombers. Again, this is no really big surprise. I mean, he's got consistency with the quarterback. The quarterback hasn't changed. Why would he want to go somewhere else? And he ended up, again, leveraging a competitive offer and ended up with $230,000. Good on him. But he's a receiver, and he's not worth $230,000 any more than Kenny Lawler was worth $300,000 in Edmonton. It's just... I'm sorry, there's receivers out there that you can get that are going to be maybe not as good, but maybe not as good as $100,000 cheaper. So it boggles the mind that, you know, okay, a receiver might be worth $180,000 high end, $200,000 tops if you're just like ripping the league apart. And Schoen did. He did extremely well last year. So $230,000 isn't outside of the realm of possibility, though I still think it's at least $25,000 too much. You can get a lot for your money in that receiver position, just as you can in the running back position. America's got lots of them. So, Rick, you tell us. $230,000 for Dalton Schoen, $240,000 for Brady Oliveira. That's $500,000, which is a 20% of your salary cap.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No,
I think it's 10%. Crazy, but, you know, I think it's – see, you guys know the ins and the outs of the CFL more than I do. I don't pay attention to all the details. What is the salary cap on a team?
$5.56 million this year.
Okay. So not much.
So, no, it's not very much. And these two guys, two players, took up $500,000. So 10% of your salary cap. Okay. Zach Collaros is taking up 10% of your salary cap. So between them, they have over 20% between three guys. Now you need 52 players.
Yep.
A lot of people. a lot of people that are going to be playing for $55,000 this year. And didn't the minimum wage go up to $62,000, Will?
Yeah,
Is this the first year it's gone up to sixty-two thousand?
I think it's 62 this year is the minimum. So I mean that's an extra seven grand because it was 55
per player,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, for 40 players, you know, do the math on that.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
7,000 times 40 is 28. That's 200. No, it's 280,000. No, it's more than that. It's too much money. I mean, staying within the salary cap is too difficult when you're playing people like this. And Toronto screwed up the marketplace. Edmonton screwed up the marketplace. Hamilton screwed up the marketplace. And Kyle Walters is not helping. So now everybody has to do it.
Sort of defeats the purpose, right?
Well, the salary cap was supposed to be put in place to protect the teams from themselves.
Yeah, but in reality, the salary cap is it's stupid because you can go over the salary cap and what's the fine? The fine is what you went over on the salary cap, right?
Dollar for dollar, up to $100,000,
yeah,
and you lose a draft pick.
Oh, is that what it is? Dollar for dollar. So,
yeah.
And how many people go over it on a regular basis? So, but maybe that happens in that. Well, some do. So, depending on injuries
I track that. I track that quite regularly, and there hasn't been that many teams go over the salary cap in the history of it. It came in 2007. In that time, Saskatchewan's gone over it four times, Montreal twice, Winnipeg twice, Hamilton once. Toronto went over but was not fined because the league owned them at the time. And BC, Calgary, and Edmonton have never been over the cap.
And we know Calgary never goes over. Calgary and BC haven't gone over it ever because they had the two cheapest general managers in the CFL for too many years. So, and those guys were probably way under the salary cap on any given moment. So,
well, Wally Buono is the reason why most people don't know this, but yes, there's a maximum salary cap, but there's also a minimum salary cap.
That is
you
correct.
Actually have to pay. You actually have to pay this amount of money to your team, regardless of it. You have to pay that much, spend that much money. Okay, you can't just go cheap on everybody. Okay, so there's a floor. There's not only a ceiling. There's a floor. Okay. Well, what they do and what Wally and Huff both did is they paid below that salary floor. Okay, come December. They were $200,000 under the salary cap floor. And what they would do then is then they would start signing their players and giving them signing bonuses. And those signing bonuses went to the last year's salary cap, not the one coming forward. So if the contract was ratified by the league in the previous year, then that salary went towards them in that previous year. So that's how they always got themselves up off the – nobody ever got fined for being too low. It's because they backfilled it from the year before. Brilliance, in my opinion. But, you know, and then you've got that much more to spend the next year or not.
Or not, yeah.
Right? I mean, if that's your MO – is to be, you know, coming in low, then that's your MO. That's what you do. That's Wally Buono's signature. That's John Huffnagel's signature. You know, if you want to be the most highest player at your position, you're not going to be a member of the Calgary Stampeders. That was just a fact.
Hmm.
That's why, you know, Calgary players are, and coaches are all around the league. Because if you want to get paid a lot of money, it's not going to be in Calgary. Now, that may have changed now that John Huffnagel has taken such a big step backwards. It's definitely changed in BC since Wally's gone. I mean, there's really nobody from the old guard in BC. Neil McAvoy a little bit. I mean, he did mentor underneath Wally as a GM. But anyhow, I don't know. Nobody ever posts the actual amounts that each team spends. They only post when a team has gone over. And by how much, and then what the fine is. And the maximum fine is, it's $1 per dollar that you go over the cap, up to $100,000, and then you lose a draft pick. You lose your number one draft pick. Big fucking deal. How many number one draft picks actually make it into the league? You know, like, seriously, you want to do something like that, then lower their salary cap for next season. That'll penalize them. You have to lower the salary cap by whatever you went over by. Got to have some kind of penalty. William, what's your thoughts on Dalton Schoen coming back to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
He's a receiver. They spent too much money on him. That's my only thought. And they've done that around the league for a long time now. I mean, last year they gave the Lewis dude in Edmonton $300,000. Okay.
I think it was $320,000, Eugene Lewis.
Yeah. And then the
Gino?
Year before. Yeah, the
with
year
Kenny
before
Lawler.
they gave Kenny Lawler $280,000 or something like that. And so Dalton Schoen, how much is he making? $250,000?
$230,000.
I guess that's a bargain for a number one receiver if you go by the other one receivers. So
I agreed. And
but it's
you
still
know,
too much money.
Kenny Lawler was the best in the league. It's too much money.
But it's what the market will bear. And obviously somebody offered him that, and Winnipeg didn't have a choice. So there you go.
Well, they did have a choice.
They did. They could have said no.
Yeah, let him go. Yeah, let him go.
Yeah, well, but they're not going to do that.
And that's what Calgary has done over the years.
Yes. And because we can replace great players with guys like Matthew Schlitz, okay? And we have no problem. We just keep on going on, buddy. So, hey, whatever.
I think we're supposed to talk about that later.
Yeah, whatever.
Because I think it's funny.
I don't even want to talk about Calgary, period.
No, we have to talk about Calgary.
I think I'm going to start talking to Sparky about becoming a rugby fan or something. Soccer fan, maybe. Who knows? Whatever. Anyways.
Okay. So the next big signing here was running back William Steinbach has been picked up by the BC Lions. Steinbach. 1 year contract, 29-year-old. He's been injured the last two seasons. I don't know. The jury's out on this one. I'm skeptically optimistic and hopeful. Last year, he was the highest paid running back in the CFL at $160,000 in Montreal. I hope the BC Lions didn't pay him that much this year. I mean, he was released. This is a signing. It doesn't have to go to a free agency. I mean, what would they got him for $120,000, $140,000?
Oh, did they? I was going to ask you, what did they sign him for? Do you know? Okay.
What, nothing's been released, but if he earned $160,000 last year and he was injured most of the year, Montreal didn't – they released him. They didn't – they said, we don't want him. Go away. And, you know, it's not like, oh, we're going to try to sign him and everything else. No, that's not what happened. It's not like Brady Oliveira's situation. They just said, okay, that's it. You're released. Go. And so he's gone to BC, and he's begging for money, and he's from all the teams, you know, do you want me, do you want me, do you want me? Well, what are we going to get you for? I would have to believe he's getting paid $120,000, $140,000. If you're paying him more than he got paid last year, you're stupid.
So yeah, that's for sure.
It doesn't say in the article how much he's making. And that's usually because it's an embarrassment. So, yeah, let it be. I mean, I'm okay picking him up. He's a very powerful back. It's nice to have somebody that can crash the tackles. The thing about Steinback that everybody is saying, well, he's old. He's not. He's 29 years old. That's not very old. He has been in the league a long time, 5-6 years. And he's been injured the last couple. Is he healthy? That's a big question. Can he stay healthy? That's a big question. Does BC have an O-line that's going to make him a hole? That's a question. But BC was ninth last year in rushing yards. In a 9-team league, that's unacceptable, especially if you're trying to win a championship. They had to do something with the running game. So, like I said, I'm skeptically optimistic. Rick, what's your thoughts on William Steinback going to the BC Lions?
Well, the guy's got a, in the CFL, a career average of 5.9 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. You know? He's got 2,000 plus yard seasons under his belt. That's not bad either. You know, that might, I mean, anything BC signed is better than what they had last year.
Right. But you also have to make a commitment to run the ball.
Well, that too. So,
so there's three factors that come into this is the quality of the running back, the quality of the O-line, and the willingness to commit to the run.
Yep. Yeah, well.
And all of those matter when you're trying to win a championship.
Yep, for sure. I was always a run-first guy as a coach. I'm big on running backs in the ground game. I hate forward passes, always have.
Yeah, but the quality of quarterbacks is a little bit better in the CFL than in the leagues that you were playing.
You think?
Yeah, right? So, you know, throwing the ball is a greater challenge.
Yes. Yes, a lot of things got to go right, though, when you throw the ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've watched a couple
NFL games lately, and God, those guys are bizarre receivers, those guys down there. They pull shit out of the air that shouldn't come down. They're ungodly in their acts.
Make them quarterbacks look good.
Yo, hell yeah.
Yep, 100% agree. 100% agree. So, yeah, no, I think that if the price is right, what you're talking, I think that's a good deal for BC.
Well, I don't know how anybody could justify any different price.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he was like a 5.9 average over his career per carry. That's substantial.
It is. It's huge. So, if BC can turn their run game around, they're a true competitor this year. you know, I would have some optimism for them. Last year, I knew they were going to be a good team, but in the end, you know, I had no doubt that Winnipeg was going to beat them. So, you know, this year, if they keep improving the way that they do, I think BC is making themselves a better team. I'm not sure Winnipeg is at this point in time. So,
I don't disagree.
Is it?
They're not really.
Is it going to balance out? Are they going to be closer?
Yeah. I don't know. We go back to last year's Grey Cup. There was a few coaching calls I think that were more of a detriment to the game than the actual play of the players.
Yeah. And that's been happening a lot lately on a lot of teams.
You're in the red zone with first down, and instead of handing it off to Brady, you get intercepted in the end zone. What the fuck were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
But that's – I guess this all – moving pieces in all the teams throughout the league, every team's going to change. As they lose a few free agents and gain some, it can change the whole dynamic of the team. And who knows how they're going to come out. Some will come out better, some won't.
You cannot build a quality football team from free agency. I don't care what anybody says. Kent Austin tried it. He went out and busted the bank buying a football team and had no chemistry. There's no cohesion between them. They didn't play football well together. Yeah, they got to the Grey Cup, but that's because the Eastern Division is the Eastern Division. They got to the East Grey Cup 2 years in a row, and they failed miserably in both games. And it's just like you can't do it. And then all of a sudden these mercenaries, because I don't know what else to call free agents, but mercenaries, because they're there for the money. They're not there for anything else. If you see a player jumping ship from one ship to the other every year in free agency, what would you call them? They're hired guns. A whore. All of the above. They're a whore. They're a mercenary. Whatever you want to call them. Right? And that's, you can't build a team full of individuals. It doesn't work. You're better off to go get somebody young and train them and bring them into the system and get some chemistry with the other players beside you and move along. And turn over 5% or 10% of your team every year so that they're always getting younger. You're not just getting old. That to me is Winnipeg's fault, is the entire team has been together for 5 years. You know, there hasn't been enough change over in the players in Winnipeg. They were the oldest team, on average, the oldest team last year in the CFL. BC was number two. But they weren't that close, but, you know, TJ Lee's getting on, so a lot of the BC Lions. But last year, Winnipeg Blue Bombers were the oldest team in the CFL. You have to start getting rid of the veterans. You have to start bringing in some new blood and doing that. And Wally Bono was a master at that. I mean, he had no problems cutting G. Roy Simon loose. Yeah, you know what? You might be good this year, you might not, but you're over the hill for me, you're gone.
Yep.
So, and that hasn't happened in Winnipeg, and it needs to. And really, if you look at Winnipeg, and we're going to go back, what, 6, 7, 8 years ago now, Will, because we've been doing this longer than that. I had a huge problem when they brought Winnipeg in and they hired a rookie president, rookie GM, rookie coach, and a rookie QB. They got rid of the rookie
who's
QB. Drew Willey didn't cut it.
I was going to say, who was the rookie QB?
The rookie QB
Drew
was
Willey.
Drew Willey.
Drew Willey.
Yeah.
Baby.
But, you know, they got Wade Miller, brand new at the position. Kyle Walters, brand new at the position. Mike O'Shea, brand new at the position. And it took them 4 years before they became a quality team. But they, you know, they stuck with the plan. They went long term on it, and they kept going and going and going. And their biggest Achilles heel was the quarterback. They did not have a quarterback.
Yep.
Who was the quarterback that in 2019 for them that got injured?
That guy.
Was that
I can't remember his name.
Was that Trevor Harris?
No.
No, he was in Ottawa.
What's his name? Shit. He was a game manager.
Kevin Glenn?
Shit.
No.
Come on. What's his name was a big fan of his. Rudy 2.0.
What was that
Rudy
guy?
2.0. Which quarterback?
Who was the quarterback?
Was the quarterback? In
2019,
Winnipeg.
Who was the quarterback that got hurt? And they brought Zach Caleros. They had Strebler came in, and Strebler shit the bed several times. And then they brought Zach Caleros in and won the Grey Cup.
Matt Nichols?
Yeah.
Matt Nichols. Yeah.
That's it. Matt Nichols.
So, you
and
know, and that was
the
always their story.
They would not have won the Grey Cup in 2019 if Matt Nichols had been the starter.
I don't think they would have won the Grey Cup in 2019 if Chris Jones didn't go to the NFL. I think Saskatchewan would have won it.
Really?
They were the powerhouse in the Western Division that year, and they had an idiot for a coach.
I guess. But we'll never be able to tell. Anyways, can I talk about William Stanback for a minute?
I think it
was a good signing. I think Winnipeg, BC's problem is last year. I mean, we can argue about this, but more or less, if not number one, they had the number one receiving core in the CFL. And I think they had too many good receivers. They didn't think they had to have a running game, and that fucked them.
That's
because
arrogance.
Their running game was non-existent. And I still think Vernon Adams can't put it all on his shoulders and carry that team. He needs some help in other ways, i.e. a decent running game, okay?
Yeah.
So 100%. it was a good signing, and the guy's got experience. So we'll see, because they're not going to have Dominic Rhymes this year. They're probably
he wasn't
not
there
gonna...
last year though.
Yes, he was.
He was injured for the majority of the year.
Well, okay. They're not going to have Whitehead.
Keon Hatcher.
Lucky Whitehead.
Well, we don't.
He's still a.
We don't know that yet. He hasn't signed with anybody.
Right.
We don't know
that
yet.
He's a UFA, but I don't like Lucky Whitehead that much, to be honest with you. So we'll see. We'll see.
The man has speed. That's just undeniable.
Yeah, but that's about all he has.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was
at
least...
He's got good hands.
Yeah, but I still think there was at least three other receivers on that team that were better than him last year, so...
Yes, I don't disagree. But our number one receiver, who is Keon Hatcher, ruptured his Achilles on the last game of the year in the Winnipeg game. So he's not coming back for the beginning of this season. So now you're down three receivers from last year. So he did re-sign, and that's cool. And we did sign up everybody else. All the other receivers are all signed up. So I'm not worried about him. We'll see where it goes. Okay. Next up on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Or Rick, are you done with stand back, or do you have anything to say? Or
yep, no, I'm done. Nope. I've said my piece.
Okay. Saskatchewan Rough Riders agreed to terms with a two-time Eastern All-Star running back, A.J. Olay. Now, I know they pronounce his name Olet, which is stupid, but that's how he pronounces his name, so we have to let him have it. That's his mother. They are French, but Americans. And Americans pronounce things really weird, like Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not how you say that name. It's Notre Dame. And it means Our Lady. So, anyhow, beside the point. They're mispronouncing his name. But he's now a Saskatchewan Rough Rider, and it's kind of a great place for him. He looks like a hillbilly. He, you know, he's raggy. If all you've got to say about something, somebody is that, I mean, he's got a mullet. It's terrible looking. He's a hillbilly. I don't know what else to say. He's going to fit right in on Saskatchewan. It's just it's the perfect fit for him. He's a poster child for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. 5'9". 208 pounds, 109 yards rushing, 5.7 yards per carry, 8 touchdowns. That's not too bad. He's got a good pair of hands. He only did 163 yards, but 4 majors on the ground in the air. So, yeah, he did okay. That was in Toronto. And what else have we got here? It does not say what he signed for in Saskatchewan. Last year, he made $115,000 at the Argos. That was his last year on his three-year rookie contract. Okay. I think he's a good, solid running back. I don't have a problem with him. I think he's a – is it the system? Is it the quarterback? Is it the running back? What made him successful in Toronto? I think it was a combination of everything. Is he going to have that in Saskatchewan? Well, Corey Mace is a big unknown for a lot of us. And I don't even know who they've got for an offensive coordinator. I know Corey Mace is doing the defensive coordinator thing, I believe.
They have
it's an upgrade for Saskatchewan.
They have Ron Lancaster's grandson, remember?
Oh, right.
He's the OC.
I think Saskatchewan is in so much better position right now at this time of the year than what the Riders were last year. Okay. So there is hope for the Riders, marginally. I don't think they're going to be at the bottom of the Western Division. I think we're going to reserve that one for Calgary. Hate to say that, but it's true. I don't know. I think it's going to be a bit of a dogfight between Edmonton and Saskatchewan for the last playoff position in the West. What's your thoughts on this, Rick?
Well, I think that last comment is probably pretty accurate. Saskatchewan seems to be adding some players with. Didn't Saskatchewan get that bomber O lineman?
Yeah.
Sign with Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Yep. Hardrick.
Yoshi.
Hardrick.
Yep. Yeah, so I mean they're putting some, but this AJ guy, I mean realistically he had one good year last year, right?
Yeah.
No, actually he's had he's had 2 years in a row.
Excellent year. Yeah, well the year before he was only half as productive in yardage and a quarter productive in touchdowns. So.
But they won the Grey won the Grey Cup that year, so.
They did, and I wouldn't put it on his back that they won the Grey Cup, but anyway.
Nope.
We'll see.
Nope.
Definitely once again for Saskatchewan. So hopefully he keeps going, but for them, but we'll. But I'm sorry, the dude needs a freaking haircut. I can't get past the hair. I can't get past the hair.
Oh, you just wait and see. You just wait and see how many Ryder fans have that same haircut this year. Okay, it'll be. They'll make wigs that look just like that. I guarantee you. Okay?
I was gonna say that they'll have them for sale at the stadium. Everybody will buy them.
Absolutely.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. They'll throw in a free banjo if you buy a wig.
It's cross between a mullet and dreadlocks, because it doesn't look like it's
horrible.
Been kept well.
It's horrible. It's horrible. You'd think you'd think a guy who lives in the center of the universe could get a better fucking haircut, but nope. It's not even a good
especially
dye job. Come on.
Especially a white dude. I mean, come on.
Right.
I know. Equal opportunity.
But
we're not racist.
He's a powerful runner. I mean, he did nothing against Calgary when we went to that game last year, Will. Like
no,
he
but Calgary was good against
field.
The run. Calgary was good against the run last year, so.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing about it is the problem with an offensive player, either a receiver or especially a running back, long hair is part of the uniform.
Yep.
Somebody's going to wank him down by his hair. And then there'll be a big kerfuffle about that.
Yeah.
No,
probably.
But somebody will.
Yeah. And it's legal.
It's perfectly legal.
Yep.
The hair is part of their uniform.
Yep.
Just like grabbing an arm or a leg. Just like grabbing an arm or a leg. So.
Yep. So, that's why running backs don't have long hair. That's why receivers don't have long hair. All the big braids out in the city, out in the on the field, are all defensive backs or defensive linemen.
Yeah. Which is interesting that it's legal, because it's virtually better than a horse collar as far as hurting somebody and yanking them back.
It's their choice.
Yep. True that.
You know, cut your hair, it won't happen to you. So, I mean, the kid is good. I can't deny that. He's consistent. He's strong.
Yep.
He's powerful up the middle. And it's been so long since BC had somebody like that. Even Andrew Harris was great up the middle. But it always seems to be that we're always looking for a scat back, these tiny little guys that can weave in and out, the Stephen Logans and whatever, right? I just don't see it. I don't get it. You want somebody that's just going to move up the middle. Mizell was doing that. But he was always went down on first contact. First contact, they had him down.
Yep.
He needs to bust a tackle or two every time.
Yes, he does.
You know, you can't be happy with 2 to 3 yards, 4 yards.
Yep.
And we just kept BC kept doing that over and over again, and then they signed him in the off season, right? They let the other two guys that were actually productive, they let them go, and they re-signed him. And I just went, why? What's going on? Well, then they went and got Stan back, so maybe they're going to let this guy go too. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Going to be a competition for the position. Saskatchewan's just slowly building a team. I like what they're doing. I mean, it's just the fact that they have a new coach. Everything's going to change for Saskatchewan. They got a new coach.
It's interesting that Corey Mays seems to be a real popular guy. if you think about it, because, okay, he took, not only did he sign Saskatchewan, he took half of Toronto's coaching staff with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's also just signed their number one running back, or they just signed their number one running back. He got a decent offensive lineman from Winnipeg. And so they are building
an O-lineman out of Calgary, too, I think. Out of Toronto as well.
That's right. And they're starting to build something there. So they could be interesting
I have a thought. I know it's scary.
Yep.
What if the success of the Toronto Argonauts was Corey Mace and not Ryan Dinwiddie?
Well, it could be. I mean, because basically he got stripped of his Ryan Dinwiddie got stripped of almost his entire defensive coaching staff in this offseason. So that's
but you remember in 2022, we're going through the beginning of that season, and you and I were betting money that Dinwiddie was going to be the first coach that got fired.
Yeah.
Right? And because
wrong.
He was making absolutely terrible coaching decisions, awful ones,
yep.
that were losing
yep.
games for him, and then he was still making bad decisions, but then Toronto started to win games.
Yep.
And it is hard to fire the coach when your team is winning. And they just continued to win right through to the Grey Cup, which secured him another 2 years on behind the bench.
Yep.
We're going to see this year what it is, whether how much of that was Corey Mace.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ryan Dinwiddie does seem to do wonders with quarterbacks, because he was the quarterback coach in Calgary for most of Bo's career, and Bo did well. And then he's the quarterback coach, I guarantee you, for Kelly, and his playoff game didn't go so well, but he did have a stellar season. So we'll see.
The team had a good season.
Yeah, sure. But let's see what Kelly is like when he doesn't have Ouellette to turn around and hand the ball off to all the time. Because no matter what anybody argues with, I'm sure you'll both agree with me, the run sets up the pass. It's that simple. It always has and it always will.
Well, that's chiseled into a stone tablet somewhere.
Yeah, I know it is. But they just they try and change these things. They shouldn't be ever changed, okay? It's the way it is. So.
But only if you have a run.
Right. But that's why I'm shocked that people neglect the run in this day and age. And they think the pass is the only way to go. So.
Now, that's your coach, Dave Dickinson.
That's true. That's very true.
Okay. Speaking of high-end passing with the Calgary Stampeders, they've agreed to terms with the quarterback sensation Matthew Schlitz coming out of Hamilton. Had a stellar year last year, mostly from the hospital bed. But,
you know, maybe... maybe Dave can teach him how to be a good quarterback. We'll see.
Maybe.
Scott Milanovic.
I don't know. He hasn't done that well with Jake Mayer.
But Scott Milanovic couldn't, so I don't know if Dave's going to have a chance.
Well, Scott Milanovic knew better, got rid of him.
Well.
Look,
yeah.
you've got to be shit. You got to be shit when somebody picks Bo Levi Mitchell at this time in his career over you.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I would, to be honest with you, I would still pick Matthew Schlitz over Bolli Vai Mitchell right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they think he's going to do, because he's not going to do shit. So,
no,
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if we're going to take a step back here just for a second, because this was something I wanted to say when we were talking about Saskatchewan, they don't have a quarterback.
Well, they do.
They have Trevor Harris. Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to stay healthy? He has not had a complete year in the CFL.
Yeah, but he's still the third best quarterback in the CFL, hands down, if he stays healthy.
If, but he hasn't.
Right. But
in 10 years.
Saskatchewan got an offensive tackle, so maybe that helps him. Saskatchewan got a running back. Maybe that helps him too.
Well, I know.
So,
but when your backup is Mason Fine,
you know, and since we're on this subject, 2 weeks ago or a week ago when you put online that the Stamps had signed Jake Donagella as their backup quarterback, I would be better
Dogala.
With Jake Jake Dogala than I would with Matthew Schlitz.
I know.
So. Yeah.
I didn't say that they had signed him. I said that would be a place in which that he could land.
Yeah.
And I said, I've heard that he is going that direction.
You see,
he may still be there. Who knows? Calgary may still find him.
It's very, 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 very uncharacteristic for Calgary to sign anybody's retread quarterback.
Of course, but we don't have John Huffnagel in control of that team anymore.
To me, that means their spare locker full of quarterbacks is all emptied right now. So,
100%.
That's all I can say. So,
and
that's the scary
so
thing.
So is it in BC? Right. Realistically, in BC, we have Vernon Adams.
Right.
Dane Evans retired, and Dominic
Davis
is a free agent, and they don't look like they're signing him, unless he just, you know, nobody else wants him in the league, and he signs for a shit contract in BC. I'm sure BC would keep him for a third down guy.
Yeah, because he does
right
score
money.
A lot of touchdowns. He does score a lot of touchdowns.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's only 1 and 2 yards. I mean, you can't give him any credit for that. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, BC needs a quarterback. I was really shocked that, you know, they hadn't picked up Jake Dogala or Matthew Schlitz yet. I'm kind of hoping that they do pull Trey Ford out of Edmonton, because we know that Chris Jones is not a fan of him, and he would fit nicely into the BC offense, because he's very similar quarterback to Vernon Adams.
You see, and that's the thing, though. You know, you have to in BC needs a decent backup quarterback, because Vernon Adams does get hurt for part of the season usually. Right? Last year he got hurt for 2 or 3 games. Did he not?
Yeah, it wasn't many.
Yeah, he had that knee problem,
games.
But you still have to have a decent backup.
You have to in every team. As long as we have the Canadian ratio in the CFL, we're going to need a quality backup quarterbacks. Yes. Because when you have Canadian O-linemen setting up against American D-linemen, the quarterbacks are going to get hurt. I don't care. Nobody can argue with that one. If the argument is that Canadians are just as good, and I'll tell you that's not true. We haven't had a good defense, an offensive line in BC since Rob Murphy and Jason Jimenez were tackles for the Lions. And how far back does that go?
I don't know. I've never been a BC fan.
That's a forever thing. I think that was back in the late 1990s.
Uh-huh.
They were mean, nasty, huge American offensive linemen. Well, it couldn't have been that far back because Wally brought them in. So it would have been the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Because I think he came over from Calgary in 2003, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. So it would have been in the early 2000s.
2002, I do believe, because they won the Grey Cup in 2001 while he was the coach, and then he was gone the next year. So,
yeah. So big nasty American O lineman would be a dream in this league right now, and nobody does it.
You know why nobody does?
And they're holding on to Stanley Bryant forever because he's the only one in the league.
Finish your thought, Rick.
I said, you know why nobody go after these big nasty U.S. O linemen, because football coaches at all level, I hate it every time they say that they focus on the skilled positions when they're bringing guys up from the States. For some reason, they won't admit that playing O-line is a skill. And so that's where they like to hide, burn up some of their Canadian quotient on the O-line because they're not that important because they're not skilled players.
And I call bullshit.
Me too.
100% agree. And that's why CFL quarterbacks get hurt so much.
The number one position on your football team is your quarterback. The number two position on your football team is the left tackle. What good is having a quarterback if you cannot protect him?
And I'm speaking as a left tackle here. 100% agree.
Kent Austin buys the man for the simple fact that he wasn't smart enough to build an O-line to protect the greatest young quarterback the CFL had seen in decades, and he abused and beat up Zach Collaros.
Well, I thought you were talking about Marcus Crandall.
No. He wasn't in Hamilton.
Anyways, whatever.
Can you imagine the career Zach Collaros could have had if he wasn't put through a meat grinder in Hamilton?
Yeah, well, shit happens.
It does. I'm just glad Austin's gone from this league and is never coming back. He's coaching football, high school football somewhere. And that's too good for him. Can you tell I don't like the man?
Yeah, I can tell. I thought he was a pretty good coach in general. Sorry. Just saying.
He let Brandon Banks get away with fucking everything.
Yeah.
He brought that guy into the league
and
treated him like a god.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. He wasn't a very good coach.
Okay.
So
you want a, you want a,
Rick,
you want a
Rick,
great
what's
cup,
your thoughts
you want
on
a great cup in Saskatchewan?
Yeah. Not as a coach.
Go ahead, Rick. No, as a quarterback.
Well, I think you won one in BC too.
Yeah, okay.
Rick, what's your thoughts on Matthew
yes.
Schlitz going to the Calgary Stampeders? Was this a good signing for the Stampeders?
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't think
Rick
knows who Matthew Schlitz is.
I'm going to be honest that I'm not that familiar with him. And I actually thought that Calgary's quarterback last year, Mayer, had some good points and needs some more work.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He was the number
he does
passing
need some
yards
more work.
Last year.
He does need some more work. He needs some more work on another team. How does that sound? Anyways, he could prove me wrong this year. He could prove me wrong. You never know.
But I mean, he did do a good job last year. He was second in the league for passing yards. That's not easy to accomplish. Okay.
He was sixth
yes,
in,
they were between the
was,
20s.
He
wasn't able to
and,
put it in the end zone.
He was 6-12. He's not a good quarterback. Sorry.
He was better than 6-12.
No, he wasn't. That was their record last year, sir.
Was it? I thought it was better than that. I thought Saskatchewan was 6-12.
No, they were 6-12. The year before, Calgary was 12-6. And the year
yes,
after, they were 6-12. And they still made the playoffs because Edmonton was so bad. And Saskatchewan
yeah.
went on a free-for-all at the end of the year, or a nosedive at the end of the year. So
massive downward spiral.
That is correct.
So if a team goes from 12-6 to 6-12, why are you defending the coach? Oh, dead air.
Silent.
No, I'm just. I know where you're going with this because you don't like Dickinson's. Because
not that I don't like Dickinson. I think he's a shitty coach.
He has a reputation, and he's won Grey Cups. Okay, and you know he can only
as
do what he can do with the player with the players that he has as a coach too, my friend. Sorry.
He was the general manager last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was, sort of.
Okay.
But Huff was still around. Huff was still around, so let's see.
His first year as a GM, they
said,
went 6-12.
He said he was going to make a big splash in free agency. Well, he hasn't made the big splash yet. And that's the other thing I was going to mention about Saskatchewan. Once again, Corey Mace is a popular guy because they also signed – Jameer Thurman, okay,
yep.
ex-Calgary, ex-Hamilton linebacker, and he's only 28 years old, and he's really good. So, and Corey Mace coached him in Calgary, so he must be a popular guy. So.
Ooh, seems to be well-liked.
Yeah, he does. He does indeed.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on from Matthew Schlitz then because nobody seems to like the guy. And,
well,
Rick doesn't dislike him. He just doesn't know
if
him.
He hasn't
given that big of an impression.
If that's the biggest signing in Calgary for the free agency this year, we're in fucking trouble, okay? Sorry.
Well, it's the only one so far that I've seen. It's the only one I've seen.
Yeah. You're right.
Anyhow, Hamilton Tiger Cats have agreed to terms to DB Jamal Peters. let's go over to this story for a minute here and see what's going on here. Jamal Peters, where was he last year? Ticats made
Toronto.
Peters the highest paid defensive back in the CFL. Oh, my God. What did they pay this guy? They're not saying. They did not say, but he's the highest paid defensive back in the CFL right now.
Right.
Wow. I mean, he was a good player in Toronto. I mean, Toronto had a very stout pass defense. So, not sure that that's good. He was a boundary cornerback. 57 tackles, 6 interceptions, and a sack. And 1 touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Good size.
So what's your take? Size-wise?
Yeah, he's a pretty good size. Like 6'2", 220 or something.
It doesn't say in this article.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 6'2", 220. That's right.
Yeah.
He went undrafted in 2019. Time will tell on this one, but I mean, he had a good year last year. But you know, to me, the defensive backs—it's a team. If they're not all good back there, then you know you can't just have a superstar defensive back and a bunch of idiots all around him, because then they're not going to throw to that guy.
Well, yeah, nope. Exactly. And if your front 4 or 7 aren't putting pressure on the quarterback, you're suddenly not that good.
Well, and, you know, and I'm looking at that the opposite way with Matthew Betts, is, you know, the sack leader for last year, an amazing defensive lineman. But how good was he? He was only good because BC had an amazing backfield. I mean, the defensive backs shut down the pass into BC, gave him the time to get the sack. If you got receivers that are open, you don't get sacks. So is he going to be as efficient somewhere else?
If he goes somewhere else.
You know. If he goes somewhere else, right? I mean, who is it? Didn't Jackson Jeffcoat say that he wants out of Winnipeg because he's tired of being beside Willie Jefferson?
Yep. So who knows? And I mean, they. If you think about it, Winnipeg's also spent money on those two guys. So, do they have enough money to sign Jackson Jeffcoat?
I don't know. We're going to find. Well, not if he wants to leave.
Right.
If he yeah, wants sure. to leave, he's going to go.
Yeah, he is.
You know, even with a competitive offer. You know, you're gone, you're gone.
Right.
So, and now I'm not saying that Winnipeg hasn't given him a competitive offer, because the only thing we've heard so far out of anything is that he wants to leave.
Yep.
So, hard to argue with that one.
Yes,
we'll
sir.
See where he ends
True.
Up. Could he end up in BC for a discount? Matthew Betts is gone. Could he end up in Edmonton?
Maybe he's the one big signing for Calgary in the offseason.
Might be. I mean, Betts has got offers right now from BC, Montreal, and is it Hamilton or Toronto? One of the two.
Right.
I think he's going to Montreal. That's his hometown. That's where he's, you know, grew up. That's where he lives. Why wouldn't you go play football there, right? Even at a discount from what the Lions are offering, you'd go.
And I,
you'd go
know,
home.
I've also always believed that sacks are a overrated stat. To be honest with you.
Well, they are.
So, I mean, is it worth your while to spend big bucks on a guy like that? Not really. So,
well,
I don't know.
No, not up in the $300,000 range.
No, not even close.
No.
But I'm a cheap fucker, so, you know. I personally think the only people you should spend $250,000 on are kickers. Because they are the key to the game.
So. Oh, so you agree with Kyle Walters spending $280,000 on Justin Medlock then? You're a fan
absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. We were on the same page. Us three. Me, him, and Mark Weddall. Okay? So.
Yeah. Well, Mark actually liked the signing. He thought it was a good deal. It was a good spend the money there.
Uh-huh.
But absolutely uh-huh. not. No.
Uh-huh.
I still can't get over that guy that I don't know who it was, but did the interview where he said, if you were the commissioner of the CFL or NFL, what would you do? And the first thing he says, get rid of the goalposts. What the fuck? Kickers aren't even football players. Why are they even on the team?
That's correct.
I thought for sure that was you on that interview. I thought for sure that was Wilson.
Such a waste of fucking time.
Well, I mean, somebody else said that the other day, is that they had a British guy watch the NFL for the first time, and he said, why do they have kickoffs? You have a kickoff, you start halfway up the field, you kick the ball through the end zone, there's no return play. Why don't they just give them the ball on the 20 and be done with it? Why go through the entire exercise?
My biggest issue with some people is, and I know you don't like to talk about NFL on this program, but you pay you pay the number one quarterback in the NFL $55 million a season, and you're gonna leave the end of the game up to a guy to kick a fucking field goal. Come on.
Do you realize that one player at $55 million
could buy the CFL
makes more money in one season than every single player in the CFL combined?
Yes, sir.
And then some.
Yes, sir. We realize.
Well, and he sucked worse than Schlitz.
At times this year he has. So.
So anyhow, Jamel Peters is now in Hamilton from Toronto. Rick, do you have any opinion on that?
Who's Jamel Peters?
I don't care.
He's a D-back, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a D-back. He was a good D-back with Toronto. I remember.
D-back. I have a hard time remembering D-back's names.
Me too.
Yeah, they're not.
They're important and all that, but the only time I notice them is when they get burned real bad.
Yep. I mean, the whole thing with having a D-back is nobody to know your name.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're completely anonymous out on the field, you're doing your job.
When you're a D-back, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%. Okay, our next little topic here. We got 20. Go ahead, Rick. What do you want?
I was going to say a D-back I do know got an upgrade on his contract this year, Nelson Lacumbo. He got a raise.
Is he a D-backer
or
a linebacker?
He's a linebacker, isn't he?
No, I'm pretty sure he's a D-back.
That's Bo Lacombo's little brother, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the next article here, which is kind of funny, and Charles put it up here, and I honestly don't think he read the article. Oh, maybe he did. Yeah, sorry, there was more to it. I won't say that. Good. Okay, so what is the headline here? The headline is Argos hit hard with player departures. And they did. They got abused.
Yep.
And Adarius Pickett is gone. Jamal Peters is gone. Boris Beattie is gone. Jordan Williams is gone. Now, Jordan Williams was a Canadian linebacker that was with the Lions, and he nipped off to Toronto last year in free agency, which, in my opinion, was a big loss for the Lions. He's a good kid. So he's now gone to the Ticats. They got a few other players that they've done. They brought in national kicker Liram Hirilahu. Now, that's interesting because now they have a Canadian kicker. He came back from this NFL.
That is correct.
I don't know how he ever got into the NFL because he never really did anything spectacular in the CFL.
I thought he was consistent.
Right? Wasn't his nickname Hula Hoop?
Yeah, that's what we nicknamed him.
That's what we named him.
You had the inability to say his name, so.
No, actually, his name isn't so hard to say. I've had some far worse names.
Uh-huh.
Hirilahu.
Yes.
Liram. Okay, so anyhow, they got rid of Boris Beattie for this. Now, Boris Beattie has been a pretty consistent kicker, and I don't know why they would have done that. I don't have a problem with it. And did somebody pick up Beattie? Was it Calgary? No.
Yeah, somebody signed him. No, I don't think it's Saskatchewan. Somebody's... I thought it was an Eastern team.
Okay, Boris Beattie is a French-born Canadian football place kicker for the Edmonton Elks.
There you go. Once again, Calgary's going to be in last place in the fucking West this year for sure.
Well, Rene Paradis is a solid kicker. You can't complain too much about him.
Yeah, and you know I want my season to depend on a kicker. Can he play quarterback?
Well, maybe. A lot of kickers were quarterbacks in high school.
He's a fireman, so I don't know if he can play quarterback.
He probably should stick with that.
It's good he's got a solid career to fall back on.
He does so. Well, he'll probably do both jobs
because
it's not like kicking is a real physical fucking job, is it? So, and you really don't even have to practice with the team, right?
No.
So, just saying. He probably takes his fire shifts even though he's playing for the Stampeders. So, make some extra coin.
What kind of money do they pay kickers in the CFL these days?
Way too
know.
Fucking
it's
much.
It's probably too much. They should be the bare minimum.
I think they're in the 150 range, which was really unusual when Winnipeg paid Justin Medlock 280. Because it was so out of left field, so to speak.
Yeah.
I can use a baseball euphemism here. Yeah, it was just – it was stupidly gross, the amount of money that they paid at Medlock.
Yeah.
CFL. And I think that it depends a great deal on whether you're a place kicker and a punter or just a place kicker.
Right.
Okay, because if you're doing two jobs, it makes a big difference.
Yes, two jobs, and they're very physical jobs.
Okay, so in 2023, okay, the highest paid kicker in the CFL was Brett Lowther with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders at $136,000. Next was Sean White in BC at $133,000. Sergio Castillo in Edmonton at $146,000. Hard money was $123,000. There was bonuses in there, which he didn't attain. Boris Beattie was $120,000. Lewis Ward in Ottawa was $115,000. Rene Paradis in Calgary was $100,000. Richie Leone in Ottawa was $90,000. David Cote in Montreal was $89,000. Stephen Flintlock in BC, who was the punter, was $82,000. Mark Leggio in Winnipeg was $74,000. Chandler Worthy in Montreal was $127,000. This is kickers and punters mixed into it, obviously, right? Devontae Dedman in Ottawa was $127,000. Hold it. How did this go? Oh, those are returners. Never mind. Sorry. How did that get into the same article here? Three Down Nation. Fucking with my head again. Yeah, so that's kind of it. Hard money, the high number was 130 with Brett Lowther and Sean White. That's what a kicker is worth in the CFL.
Not a bad gig.
Yeah. Not for somebody who doesn't have to get hit.
Exactly.
Very rare
occasionally
that a kicker ever
to
get
make,
hit.
Occasionally might have to make a tackle.
No.
That's true.
You don't have to. You choose
you
to.
You don't have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You
on
don't have to.
You have to.
you never see Bo Levi Mitchell running after an interception. Oh, fuck. Look at it. He's gone.
Look at that boy run.
Look at that fucking run, man. Get him some grits. He's gone. Okay. So, let's get over
so
here.
Toronto's getting decimated.
Toronto's getting decimated, and that's pretty much what it is, not only in players but in coaching. So I think the CFL in the Eastern Division is going to be a lot closer this year than it was last. I'm still really at odds with Ottawa. I don't think they've got the coach that they need in Bob Dice. Their number one quarterback is Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Who?
Who did they just sign? They just signed somebody.
Drew Brown.
They signed Drew Brown, right? They both have starter money. And they also have Nick Arbuckle back there, who is not under contract.
He's
going to be a free agent.
He's a free agent. Somebody's down the side.
He's a free agent.
I was hoping Calgary would sign him, but I guess not.
But it still can happen.
Yeah.
Just because they signed Matthew Schlitz, did they? I don't know. I didn't really read the article. Did they say how much they paid him?
No, they did not. But $100,000 this week, $150,000 is about it. That's the ceiling.
Right, but the real question is how much hard money. What's the signing bonus that he got? Because that would define whether or not he's going to play the game. Because you
right.
can sign eight quarterbacks and have a competition, or not even, you know, sign Matthew Schlitz because you don't know whether or not you're going to get Nick Arbuckle. And then a free agency comes up, you get Nick Arbuckle, you just release Schlitz.
Something tells me Schlitz is not a bonus kind of guy because he's not that good.
No, so why would you give him a signing bonus? Because you don't even know if he's going to play yet.
Right.
And would you have given him starter money? You know, is he making $400,000?
No.
I hope not.
No. He can't be.
Well, you still have Jake Mayer under contract, so you have to be cognizant of that.
Yeah, you can cut that fucker any minute if you want to.
Right now, he's the best quarterback on your team.
Shut the fuck up, Christopher.
Jeez. Damn straight.
Well, until you get somebody better, you need to keep him. That's why
I don't understand why
Saskatchewan got rid of Jake Dolagala. Why did they get rid of him?
Dave Dickinson is the best quarterback on Calgary right now, okay? And he's a 50-year-old man, so...
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe Jake Mayer will prove me wrong. I doubt it.
We're going to go back to hockey for a second here. Bobby Orr recently was interviewed, and the guy said, would the 1971 Boston Bruins, would they beat the current Ottawa Senators? And Bobby said, yeah, probably by about one goal. And the guy goes, why only one goal? And he goes, well, most of us are in our 70s now.
Yep.
It's a true story, right? 1971 Bruins. Anyhow, this article here on Matthew Schlitz says nothing. So we don't know how much Calgary's paying him. So there it is. But the Argos got beat up really bad. Okay, let's go. We got 11 minutes here. We got nine teams. We're going to do this really quickly. Headline is one free agency need for all nine teams. BC Lions need a running back. Well, they just did that today. Edmonton Elks need defensive line. Yeah. They gave away Jake Cerisna for Curly Gittens.
Yeah, which I couldn't figure out because I thought Jake Cerisna was a good player.
He was a good player, but like I said, he got too many major penalties at inopportune times last year. Chris Jones was pulling his hair out with that. He had to have also been a nuisance somewhere, whether in the locker room, in the film room, something else. Something pissed off Jones on this one guy because he was amazing. And to trade him for Curly Gittens, I'm sorry. I don't think that was a fair trade. So you had to want to get rid of him. Okay, Calgary needs a receiver.
And a
Reggie
quarterback.
Well, not according to CFL.ca. They're sound at that position. Saskatchewan needs some defensive back. Nick Marshall's gone. Corey Mace is now in charge, so he needs to revamp that secondary. Because in the Western Division now, you've got Vernon Adams, Zach Kolaris, and McLeod Bethel-Thompson. At least three of the teams in in the West have good quarterbacks, at least respectable ones.
Agreed.
And if you're Saskatchewan, then you're only really worried. The only one, Saskatchewan only has to worry about four Western teams, and they've only mentioned three quarterbacks. So I guess they're not really concerned too much about Calgary. Okay, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It looks like they need an O-line is what he's saying in here. There you go. Toronto Argonauts need some linebackers. Jordan Wilson's gone, and Darius Pickett is leaving for Ottawa. Moncrief is they picked him up from Saskatchewan, right? Ottawa Red Blacks needs an entire fucking team. Oh, I'm sorry, a defensive back. And
Ottawa's got a better quarterback than Calgary does, so. And he's crippled, but that's beside the point.
Jeremiah Johnson or Jeremiah Mazzoli?
Jeremiah Johnson, yeah. No, I'm talking
Jeremiah
about
Mazzoli,
Drew Brown. Drew Brown, and he's unproven.
Drew Brown, okay. He's unproven, 100%. I don't know how anybody can go off and pay that kind of money for Drew Brown. That boggles the mind.
They got to take a chance, I guess.
I know, but you don't have to take a chance on big money like that.
Yeah, but it's what the market will bear. And, okay, so if they didn't sign Drew Brown, their starting quarterback would be Jeremiah Mazzoli. And he's played three games in 2 years, okay?
Well, you'd have to rely a lot on Nick Arbuckle. You'd have to sign him.
I know. And he sucks. No, there's still Justin Crum or whatever the hell his name is. I think
Justin
he'll turn
Crum.
Out decent. Yeah, I think he'll turn out decent.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Crum and Powell more than any other quarterback out of those six last year.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, we
okay.
did.
Ottawa needs a defensive back end. Montreal Alouettes need an O-line. Reality is Montreal struggled to keep Cody Fajardo clean through a meaningful chunk of 2023. You can't keep Cody Fajardo clean. He comes out full of shit no matter what.
Do you have last year's predictions? How many of us predicted that Cody Fajardo would win the Grey Cup? Nobody.
I know how many of us predicted that.
Yeah.
The majority of us picked Montreal to be last in the Eastern Division, if not the league.
That is correct.
But
what do we know?
Oops.
In fairness to us, the team at the time was owned by the league. Danny Machocha,
yep.
the general manager, was not allowed to spend a nickel in free agency.
Right. Correct.
They had just brought in Jason Moss as their
head coach,
and then they brought in Cody Fajardo as their quarterback, and we all laughed hysterically.
Yep.
So
we did.
Them winning the Grey Cup last year, I mean, I wish I had put $1,000 on them at the beginning of the season.
Uh-huh.
Not that I would have, because I figured for sure that would have been, I'd lost $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow. So that's our one free agency need. So this is the last one here. I'm saving it for last. It's the funniest one is all. You're bitching about your quarterback situation. Winnipeg Blue Bombers just signed Chris Streveler.
Mm-hmm.
This is funny, and I don't mean that in any disrespect. The guy has done nothing in the CFL, and he did and he went down to the NFL, and he made a career down there doing nothing, to the point that he actually got an NFL pension. And
yes,
now
he
he's come back. And last year he said, I will not be back to the CFL. I am too busy down here with my quarterback school. And then the next thing we know, he's re-signing with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Of all the teams to sign Chris Streveler, I would have not thought it to be the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And then I find out he only signed for $120,000, which is nothing. And yes, he has a lot of bonuses and incentives in there. Oh, did we lost Rick?
Did we?
Was that on purpose?
Maybe not.
I'll call him back. See what he has to say. Or maybe he just got pissed because I was talking about Chris Streveler.
No.
Did a Phil Miller on us.
No. Maybe he had to go home. Who knows? Oh, he said, sorry, I just got dropped. I'm totally baffled why Bombers signed him.
Does he want back in?
It doesn't say.
Okay. So, yeah, it baffles the mind that they did this.
Yeah. No, I don't know why they signed him either, but, hey, He did serve a purpose in their offense in the Grey Cup year, okay?
Of course he did, but he's a fullback.
Yeah, he is. He's a Tim Tebow. That's exactly what he is. So, I mean, if I had a choice between him and Jake Mayer, I'd probably take Jake Mayer.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Now, Jake Mayer could throw the ball, and he proved that last year. But Chris Streveler has a lot of hype with him right now, and I think you get a lot more asses in the seat in Calgary with Streveler as your quarterback than you would with Jake Mayer, because I think most of the fans in Calgary right now think the same way as you do.
Yeah. Well, some people are optimistic, but they're stupid, okay? You see, once again, my biggest issue, Christopher, like I said last week, outside in. We can see it from the outside that Jake Mayer, what is his upside? He doesn't have an upside, okay? Same with Jeremiah Mazzoli. But these guys still get signed.
Well, so does Mitchell.
Calgary is going to waste another whole fucking season on Jake Mayer. And Hamilton.
Well, obviously they're not. They just signed Matthew Schlitz.
Yeah, right. And Hamilton is going to spend another fucking season with Bo Levi Mitchell. Come on. Are you stupid?
The good thing about Hamilton is they're not going to spend the entire season because he's going to get hurt.
Right.
Okay.
And they have
anyhow, William.
Yes.
Taylor Powell. This is the end of the show. So
right.
This has been Let's Talk CFL podcast, episode number 562. I've been your host, Christopher Jones. We had Rick McDonald in here first show. It was great talking with Rick, and hopefully he'll come back. He's going to get better with this. He was a little nervous, I could tell. Anyhow, and William, say good night.
Good night, everybody. Let's go. Free agency next week. Not that there's anybody major left. So we'll see who signs who.
Well, Matthew Bitt.